Well, I love the sound of kids. Woo! Don't you love the sound of kids? Amen. Shoo. Praise God. 10 more days to Christmas. 9 more days to make cookies. 9 more days to wrap those presents. 9 more days to be merry and bright. And 9 more days, men, you should buy your wife a present, even if she looks you in the eye and says, don't. She has lied. And you will just bless the socks off of her. I'm telling you from experience. Okay, that was it. Praise God. Let's go home. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are in week 2 of our series called The King's Arrival. Let's pray. Father, you are magnificent, awesome, incredible, and I don't have enough words to just describe the wonder of your love and who you are to us. And today, Father, we gather. We're excited. We're excited to gather with our people, our community, and to gather and worship you. We thank you for this opportunity also to hear words. Father, I thank you for words from heaven. You guys going to hear words from heaven that will just bring hope and light and direction to our lives and will help change us so we can go change and be a light to other people. And all of you that are going to receive great things today, say hallelujah, amen, and Merry Christmas. Okay, I don't know about you, but I do not like to feel incompetent. I do not like to fall short of expectations. And this time of year, we can have a whole lot of opportunities. One of them, I just realized, I was, if you know me, I love to bake. I love to cook. I love cookies. And this time of year, I love to bake a zillion Christmas cookies. And I have magazines that just come to my house that have Christmas cookie specials. And I save them up and I get them out. And I've been looking at them since July. And I got them all out on Monday. And I realized I can't do it. I can't do it. And I realized. And then, I'm sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, I am going to disappoint the guys in my family. I am going to disappoint them that I'm not making 10 zillion cookies, all right? I'm not making those special cookies, Sherry, sorry. She has the most complicated cookie that she likes, okay? And you know what? So I was feeling like I was a disappointment. I was feeling like I was going to just not be meeting people's expectations. I just felt like I was going to fall short because I realized, and by the way, Monday, I got a phone call that the guys that were supposed to come this coming Monday were coming this past Monday or Wednesday to put new flooring down, and I have dust all over the place, and I just had a meltdown. And it was all because I was feeling incompetent and I was going to disappoint people. And I do not like that. Anybody like that? No, we don't like that. Don't like that. I'm going to get good. But maybe cookies don't get it to you. But I have this dear friend. And she shared this story with me last year. She's been working for this organization, this company, for 15 years, I think. And she has kind of climbed the ladder. She's now office manager of a whole bunch of millennials. She's 50. She's telling these, okay. And what happened was the company decided to put a new computer program in. We're 50, and they're putting a new computer program in. Now, they trained you. They went through training and training and training, and then the day came when this thing is like, everybody to your computers, the people are coming in, and you just need to press all the buttons. And she was struggling. She was really having a hard time. She's thinking to herself, girl, you got any brains in your head? And then she's having to ask all these 20-something millennials all these questions on how do you do this, and I keep pressing this, and this thing's bleeping up on me, all right? And she said to me, almost in tears, she said, I felt so incompetent. And I felt like I was disappointing myself. I was disappointing the millennials that usually come to me and ask questions. I am bugging them the whole time. She was just a mess. So, I'm still thinking of a title. I might change it halfway through there. So today what I really want to talk about is we have potential, right? Everybody has potential. Tell your neighbor, you got potential in there. You have potential in there. But what I found out, and through my stories you heard, sometimes this potential can just come with a whole lot of, tension, okay? Like, it just squeezes you, and it's just not fun. I know I have potential, but sometimes I just feel tension in my potential. So I don't know if that's a title, but here we go. I do like the word potential, and then I don't. And let me give you an example. Let's say you've been like the star football player in high school, and your coach comes up to you and says, listen, I see potential in you that you could play college ball, football. And what happens if you don't play college football? What happens if you don't go to college? Does that mean you didn't fulfill life's potential? And you can feel like, nice word, D, crud. Okay? You know, it can just make you feel, ugh, all righty? So there's plenty of opportunities to feel like incompetent, especially this season. How many of you know the picture, famous picture by Norman Rockwell, of they're all sitting around the table? And they have this glorious, perfect turkey sitting in the middle of that table. Mine never looked like that, okay? And all these happy faces are just like, yay! How many of you, who does not know that picture? Write it down later. Don't Google it now. Norman Rockwell, it came out in the 1940s, okay? And you know what? I can have expectations that that's what Thanksgiving and Christmas is going to look like, that, all right? And then, no fooling, this happened at my parents' house. The table, they put all the food on the table, and the table broke. Like, and everything went sliding down. Talk about. Yeah, it was quite. Now I think it's humorous, okay? My mom didn't, okay? But you know what? As we go through life, and especially I find in this season, that we can feel incompetent in our potential. We can have these expectations. Anybody have expectations? Like, they're up here and then they don't happen. Anybody have some of those? You had this expectation and it didn't happen. Okay, so sometimes I feel I can give it my all and I still feel it wasn't enough. I can give it my all, and I can feel like it wasn't enough. So if you're taking notes, because y'all are smarter than a fifth grader, and sometimes your brain needs to read this, write this down. God can produce significance. That's a good word. God can produce significance in what seems insignificant. God can produce significance in what seems insignificant, okay? So we are in week two of our series called The King's Arrival. And this is also called, this is Christmas season. It's also called, if you came from a liturgical, how's that? I only use that once a year. Background. It's the Advent season. Anybody ever hear that? The Advent season. Did you ever do light the four candles? And the Advent, the word simply means arrival. It's the season of whose arrival? Jesus, right? It's the season that Jesus is going to be born. He's going to die. He's going to save the world, okay? And that's why we say God is with us, Emmanuel. It's the season of the arrival. So now you can impress people and say, I know what Advent means, arrival, okay? Now, the thing about Christmas and the arrival is there was a big W-A-I-T. There was a big wait before Christmas, the arrival. As a matter of fact, the last book in the Bible is Malachi. Excuse me, Old Testament is Malachi, right? There's the last prophetic word about the arrival till Jesus shows up is 400 years. That's not an amen, that's an oh my gosh, okay? So the last prophecy or prophetic word about the Messiah that's going to come, that's going to save the world, that's going to save Israel and all that, 400 years. And you know, what's that, the Nike commercial? Wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. You talk about waiting for it. That's a long time. 400 years, I was like, Google, Google, blah, blah, blah. 400 years and is about 20 generations had to go by until the arrival, okay? So if a generation's about 20 years, Google and I had an argument. He said it was 30 years, but I'm going to go with 20 because it's better on math. So if a generation is 20 years, that meant there were 20 generations that were wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. Okay? Now, I don't know about you, but I'd be sitting around, well, I'd be the old generation that's telling the young generation, that's telling the next generation. And the conversation and the questions might be, you know, is he still going to come, this Messiah? Is God still going to keep his promise? You know, and so there are probably these questions from generation to generation till finally someone says, you know, I just wonder if this is a thing. Because 400 years, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. And then suddenly Jesus comes, right? That's why we have Christmas. Jesus comes. It's not why we have Christmas, it's why we sell. All right? And suddenly Jesus comes in a very insignificant place, Bethlehem, to very insignificant people, Mary and Joseph, to a very insignificant place. It was not four stars, a stable, right? And the first visitors were super insignificant, a bunch of shepherds, right? Gosh, it's just, and so God takes something insignificant and man becomes super significant, right? Jesus. Jesus. Praise God. Gosh. So, if God can take something insignificant and make something very significant, like, ching, that's what he wants to do with all of us. Okay? And there are times that I feel, and maybe you only had one day out of the whole year that you felt like, what? Okay? But I want to encourage you, and you should write this down. God takes something insignificant, and he can turn it into something very significant. Amen. Good preaching. Okay. So last week we talked about the kingdom of God. And we found out, and you read your Bible in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus was always saying, the kingdom of God is like, blank, blank, blank. The kingdom of heaven is like, blank, blank, blank. And he would say it over again, the kingdom of God is like this. And we found out the kingdom of God is wherever Jesus is king. Right? Alrighty? And I go, well, why did he keep saying the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of light? Well, he said it, but listen, he was saying it to illustrate so we would get it and actually we'd experience the kingdom of God. Does anybody have somebody tell you something like five times in a row? Like, don't forget to take the trash out, don't forget to take trash out, don't forget to take trash out, don't forget to take trash out. Okay? All right? So why? So you'd get it and you'd experience it, right? So Jesus was saying this over and over so we'd get it and we'd experience it. Praise the Lord. Now, turn over to Luke chapter 13. Let's give you a first scripture here. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Jesus is kind of thinking out loud. Anybody think out loud? I talk out loud to myself all the time. Okay? He's thinking out loud, and he's probably asking and answering questions that you might be thinking. So I kind of like this. Here we go. Luke 13, verses 18 through 19. Then Jesus said, what is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it? It is like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in a garden, and it grows and becomes a tree. Everybody say, grows and becomes. This is the kicker. This is really significant. We'll get to it, okay? So it grows and becomes a tree, and the birds and make their nest in its branches. Okay. How many of you know we live like a really instant society? The world, like, I have an Instant Pot. There's instant mashed potatoes. There's instant ramen noodles. There's you go to that ATM machine, it's like instant money, okay? That's what your kids think. I remember one of my kids saying something like, Dad, just press the button. Okay. So we live and you can have this concept. I'm going to plant a seed today and I'm going to come back tomorrow and I can have fruit, right? You can sort of think like that, alrighty? And you might think, well, I can go to the gym today and tomorrow I'm going to have a six pack. in your dreams, right? Come on. So we know, okay? We know that a seed that you have to plant in the ground, you have to plant it, and then it's going to grow up to be a tree, okay? But we also know that it takes time. It takes time. It takes time. Any of you remember your kids that come home with that bean that they had to wet in a paper towel and watch it grow? And don't, parent, teachers, okay? But every day, it didn't grow, Mom. It's dead. It didn't grow, Mom. Okay, because they were thinking it should just pop out of there, you know? And after a while, it did grow. Okay, so a tree, we all know, a seed has to be planted, and then it's going to grow, but it takes time. Now, I'm going to stretch you. Okay, let me stretch you. Here we go. Plant it really has to do with faithfulness. Write that down. Pastor D's just pulling rabbits out of hats. Write that down. Plant it really is going to refer to faithfulness, okay? Being faithful means I'm not going to give up when I don't see God's promises happen like that. Faithfulness means I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to say what God says, even if I don't see it. Faithfulness means Faithfulness means I am going to take this first step and just do this little insignificant thing that God's been putting in my heart because I know God's going to do something, okay? Faithfulness. So planted has to do with faithfulness. And Jesus was talking and illustrating, he said, the kingdom of God is like a little mustard seed that you could probably just walk over it. You didn't even notice it, like, because they are just little insy-bincy things. And it will grow and become. It will grow and become, but it takes time. It takes faithfulness. Guys, the kingdom of God is built on faithfulness. The kingdom of God, all that God has, all that God is going to do on this planet is built on faithfulness. Everybody say faithfulness. I love that word, okay? And faithfulness invites all of us to do it. Just it's an invitation, all of us, to have faithfulness to walk out this kingdom of God. Now, I have been operating in this role of senior pastor for about 10 years. Oh, my gosh. And I will tell you, the day I heard and I finally said yes, I took this real serious. I had high expectations for myself. Like, I am going to read, I am going to study, I am going to study, I am going to study, I'm going to figure out how to use this concordance. You know, Google is so wonderful now, okay? And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to study, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to study, and I'm going to pray. I had high expectations that I was going to be a good teacher, a good preacher. I was going to have high expectations to be a good leader, okay? But you know what I found out? Very first week, it was going to take more than a 15-minute prayer to pull a message together, okay? More than 15 minutes, and you don't know half the story. Somebody was in the office, and they said, Pastor D, how long does it take you to get a message? I said, 10 hours, because I change it halfway, throw it out, get an outline, throw it out, you know, still looking up words and stuff like that, okay? So, praise the Lord. God. Okay. And listen, I do a lot of studying. I do a lot of looking up. I do a lot of praying because I have to keep your attention. And sometimes I see this. And you think, I think, or I know that you're taking notes. But I am striving for your attention and your cell phone. Keep eyes on here, right? Okay? So there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of work that goes into this. But listen, I have high expectations for myself. And I think I've come a little bit farther than I was 10 years ago. By the way, I used to live on Imodium AD on Sunday morning. I was freaking out, okay? I haven't had to do that in years, okay? So I've come a long way, but I have not arrived, amen, okay? And I am thankful for that. Same thing with this church. This church did not fall from the sky. especially found out about that wall, and poof, there was York Christian Fellowship. Poof, it just fell from the sky, okay? Nope, it didn't. It took a lot of faithful people, that believed in a vision, that volunteered hours galore, that serve, that pour in finances, resources. It took all faithfulness for this, okay? But praise the Lord. And I'm glad. Listen, we're good, but I want to go farther. Anybody want to go farther? Because you know what? I see this place a place for people that are hurting, people that are sick, people messy. Everybody say messy. Messy. Y'all were messy in the beginning, right? You just didn't know it, okay? I see this place a place for people that are messy. I see this as a place where people will hear the truth of God's word and the greatness of God and all the things he has, and they'll start walking in it. I see this place where people will discover the plans and the purposes that God gave them, and they'll start walking it out. I see this place not a place where we just consume. Well, just feed me, Pastor Dave, feed me. No, I see this a place where we ask some hard questions like this. And somebody said this a couple weeks ago. Pastor D, where else can we help our community? I think I see that a place where we sit down and we ask that question. And the problem is a lot of times we think, where can we bless this community, YCF? No, I want us to go outside these four walls and ask those questions. Where can we bless? Where can we be Jesus? That's a better word. Where can we be Jesus in our community? Okay? So that's what I see. Praise the Lord. So we may not have arrived, but we're working on it. We're going forward. All right, we're going forward. Praise God. I see this place also, one more. I see this place that reaches people, okay? But my question is, are we ready? This is a question for me. If you don't like it, say it's Pastor D's question, okay? And I want to be ready. So let's back up. God is a faithful God, amen? He is faithful to you, amen? Amen. And he needs us to be faithful to this kingdom, okay? We have a big part to play, amen. So moving right along, Pastor D, give us another scripture, okay? So if you're taking notes, write this down. Number two point, God has already placed in you what he wants to do through you. God has already placed in you what he wants to do through you, okay? So what do we do when we have potential, but sometimes it's just like, I just don't feel like it. I just feel like I'm falling short. Well, this is it. God has placed in you what he wants to do through you. Actually, I'm going to stretch it. God has placed in front of you what he wants to do through you. All right, so I'm going to talk about a miracle that Jesus did, all right? A miracle that Jesus did. It's found in all four of the Gospels, okay? And the miracle is where Jesus takes something very insignificant and all of a sudden, woo, it becomes very significant, okay? It's called the feeding of the 5,000, all right? And some of you are like, oh my gosh, she's going to tell this story, I already know. Jesus got a whole bunch of people, and this little boy comes up with his lunch, and he prays over it and blesses it, and they feeds everybody, and you know, it has to do with if you give a little, a whole bunch happens. All right, guys, I do that sometimes. I read a story in the Bible, I'm like, I'll just skip to the end. I already know this, all right? But I'm telling you, I heard from God. We're gonna see truth and principles in this story. But if you just have no expectations and you're just so familiar with this story, it'll be like this, okay? So are you excited? All right. Yay, amen. Turn over to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through a bunch. Here we go. 1. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs and he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples. Okay, he's going to start teaching his disciples here. And it was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Verse 5, Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed this huge bunch of people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Okay, background. This is John writing this towards the end of his life. So he's already done a hunk of years with Jesus, okay? He's done a bunch of years with Jesus, and he's kind of sitting back and thinking about Jesus. And that's why he says, "Hey, guys, you know, Jesus is just kind of testing Philip because he already knew what he was going to do. He already knew what he's going to do. Guys, there is nothing that you do that God goes, 'Oh my gosh, I didn't know they were going to do that.' There's nothing that catches God by surprise. There's nothing that gets him all balanced, off balance, and says, 'Oh my gosh, I'm not sure what I'm going to do.' Okay? Just wanted you to know that. He already knew what he was going to do. Okay? Verse 7. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Okay, even if we worked, and you know, I kind of laughed at this. I was reading it again last night. Jesus specifically asked who? Philip, where he's going to get this, go feed them. And you know what Philip does? "Hey, bring the boys in. We, like, I'm not doing this by myself. Are you kidding me? I'm going to bring the rest of them in. We, no, you know, are you kidding me, Jesus? We could work for weeks and months and we still wouldn't have enough." Okay, verse 8. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, kind of saw what was going on. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish." I could just see him kind of going, "Jesus, there's a kid here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes." And he's just probably just laughing, going, "Okay." So then he says, "But what good is this with a huge crowd?" Alrighty, what good is this with a huge crowd? Okay, so let's keep reading. Sorry about that. Verse 10, Jesus says, tells everybody to sit down. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. And you've heard this before. The scholars say they're just counting men. But there's men and women and children. And it's anywhere between 15 and 20,000 people. 15 and 20,000 people. Okay, he has them all sit down. Then Jesus took the loaves, he gave to God that, and gave thanks to God and distributed them to the people. Afterwards, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus said to his disciples, "Now go gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they all picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Okay. God already knew what he was going to do there. Amen? All righty. Now, if you were to read all 4 of the Gospels, because all 4 of the Gospels have an account about this, and you kind of pull out some things, Mark gives his account. And he says, hey, Jesus had fed the 5,000, which is really about 20,000, and he dismissed them. Y'all go home, okay? And he gets in a boat to go on a boat ride with his disciples. Okay, and the very next day, the crowd is looking for Jesus. The crowd finds Jesus 24 hours later, okay? And they're like, "Okay, we got to find him. We want to see how he does this." All righty, now, what did the disciples say? "Just send him away, Jesus." Really what was happening is they'd been with the crowd had been with Jesus all day, and they really said, "Just go send him away and they can go to Aldi's and go shopping for themselves." Right? They can go to Giant, go shopping for themselves. All right? That's really what the disciples were saying. And Jesus says, Oh no, listen, don't send away the source that I want to supply. Don't send away the little boy who's got the source that I'm going to do a miracle with. And they're like, what? You ever have God tell you things and you're like, what? I don't get it. And that's what Jesus is really saying. Hey, don't send this source because I'm going to do a miracle. All righty? So, if you're taking notes, write this down. I think this is number three. Ready? God's greatest opportunities look like God's greatest opportunities look like obstacles. God's greatest opportunities look like obstacles to us. Like, no way. There's not enough. We don't have enough money. We can't feed all of them. Many times God's greatest opportunities just, like we just miss it, okay? Now, and this is what Jesus says. This is what he says to them, to the disciples. What do you have? And this is what Jesus says to all of us. What do you have? What do you have? Okay, what do you have in your hand? Now, think about this mom that made that little boy's lunch. I'm assuming, okay, telling the story. This is the mom that made the little boy's lunch. She's not thinking this. She's just thinking it's lunch. It would be PB&J and an apple and maybe some carrot sticks or a Twinkie. All right, she's just doing something insignificant. Right? This mom is doing something insignificant. She's not thinking how significant this lunch is going to be. All right? So all you moms and dads that are doing just these mundane routine responsibilities like drive your kid to practice, do laundry, drive your kid to practice, cook dinner, drive your kid to practice, okay? Do this, do that, okay? And sometimes we want to know, God, is what I'm doing going to be anything great? Is what I'm doing, right? Doing anything, is anything great going to come out of it? And listen, shoo, God is saying, I am making a difference. You are making a difference. You are making a difference. How about all the single people, and you've had nonstop, well-meaning, cutie pie old ladies from church saying, what? You're still not married? Girl, how come you're not married? Hey, you're still not married? Okay? And you can start thinking of yourself like a second-class citizen of heaven, okay? But can I tell you? You are not complete because of somebody else. You are complete and significant because of Jesus, all right? Praise God, all right? Or maybe you're looking back over your life and you're wondering, you know, like you're getting up past 60. And you're thinking, did my life do anything? Did it make a difference, all right? Or maybe you're looking back at your life and you've got some regret, some messes in the background, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I wonder if I have anything left good in me, and did my life even make a difference? I'm telling you what, guys, God has in you significance to do things great for him, all right? And it's really easy to look at my life and compare myself and think about what good is it. I only have this, this, and this, or I don't have a college degree. We were talking about that, all right? Okay, but God always starts with, what do you have? What do you have in your hand? Okay, and he said that to Moses. Moses, and you know what? What did Moses have? He had a staff, and he did miracles. Amen? He did that with David. What did David have? He had a sling, and he killed a giant. What did he do with Samson? What did Samson have? He had a jawbone of a donkey, and he killed the enemy, all right? What about Rahab? What did Rahab have? She had a scarlet cord that saved her whole family, amen? What about Mary of Bethany? What did she have? An alabaster jar of perfume to anoint Jesus that they said forever will tell this story. What about Peter? He had a boat. What about the Apostle Paul? He had a pen and he wrote tons, two-thirds of the New Testament, all right? And he was asking them that same question. Hey, what do you all have? What do you have in your hand? Because it gives God an opportunity to be great. Amen? And I'm telling you what, He's asking the same question. Just close your eyes for a second. Just close your eyes for a second, okay? And think about God asking you, what do you have? What do you have that can help build the kingdom of God? Okay, what do you have? All right? Alrighty, now. Or better yet, what can you contribute? All right, open your eyes before you go to sleep on me, all righty? Praise the Lord. Listen, guys, we all have a part in this kingdom. Okay, we all have a part. And you may think, I can remember, I fought this for years. I was a stay-home mom. I'm just a stay-home mom. I'm just doing laundry, driving kids, all right? And I had to wake up and realize there was significance in what I thought was insignificant. Amen? All right? So God is asking, what do you have? Well, serve where you serve. Give when you can give, all right? And know that God will do significant things in what you think is so insignificant. So here's my question. Write this down. What do you have? What do you have in your hand? Well, I don't have enough. God, I don't even have 2 minutes in the day to have quiet time. All right? God, you know what my situation is. I don't have enough. Anybody ever rattle off those things? God, I can't do that. I don't have enough. All righty? Now. So, point number four, write this down. God uses situations of not enough so he can show himself to be more than enough. God uses your situations where you go, I don't have enough. I can't. I don't have enough. I can't. I don't have enough. I can't. So he gets to show himself more than enough. Praise God. All right. So now I have to say this. How will we ever know that God is more than enough, that God is provider, if we're always just running the show? We're always, I got this, I got this. I do this a lot. I'm getting better. Get out of my way. I got this, I got this, okay? And now I'm not telling you to go out and quit your jobs so you can say, God, I don't have enough. Be more than enough. Keep your jobs. But maybe you're setting these goals and you're just smashing it. Man, you know, this past year I was believing for this, and I did it. And then, you know, I was believing for this, and I did this, and I believed for this, and I did this. How about you stop smashing it and you raise your goal? Like big. So that God can be and show himself to be more than enough. I have found myself in a ton of situations where I can't, I am not enough, I am not smart enough. And you know what? Guess what God did? He showed himself to be more than enough. How many of you have stories where God showed himself to be more than enough? I mean, you were in a place, I can't do this, there's no way. This bill just came in the mail, okay, I can't. And then y'all have stories where God just was like, more than enough, okay? Now, the great thing about this is the more opportunities that you give God to be more than enough, you reveal to the world God, the kingdom of God. All right? Your stories, go tell them. Go tell them all the time. This is what God did. I thought we were cooked. And this is what God, because that's how we invite people to the kingdom of God. That's how we build the kingdom of God. That's how you reveal who God is to a world that's watching. And I look at some of you, I'm like, yes, I've seen your stories. They're amazing. Well, keep doing them. Okay. We're still in John chapter 6. If you keep reading that, I'll keep reading that. Yep. Praise God. If you were to keep reading all of that, and I'm going to jump around, Jesus goes and fills these guys, the crowd. They're all filled up, right? They go fill them up, and then he dismisses them. They go on the boat ride, okay? Verse 26. Let's jump over to that. Jesus replied. John 6:26. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth to the crowd, okay? You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs, okay? But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. Okay. Jesus is teaching about miracles right there. But the miracle has to do with signs. All right. So if you're driving over here and there's a big billboard, okay, of Logan's Steakhouse, and you're like, whoa, did you see that big sign? Wow, I'm going to pull over and I'm going to start eating the sign. No, what are you going to do? I'm going to see the sign and it's going to point me to where? And where am I going to go? And what am I going to eat? Steak. Okay. So guys, the miracles that Jesus is trying to open their eyes and say, hey, the miracles were really a sign. The miracles were really a sign to show you something really significant. All right. And the miracle was the sign, the signs that they were, and they just didn't get it. Everybody have read things and do things. You're like, I still don't get it. Okay. But he was saying, hey, this sign, these miracles are a sign, and they're pointing to something significant. They're pointing to Jesus, the Savior. All right? And they just still didn't get it, okay? And I get it. I don't get it sometimes, too. Let's keep reading verse 27. Okay, we did 27, verse 28. They replied, we want to perform God's works, too. What should we do? Verse 29. This is the only work I want you to do. Believe in the one he has sent. Believe in the one he has sent. Okay, now, yes, God does things through us, but God is saying through Jesus, this is all I want you to do. I want you to believe in the one that God sent. Believe in Jesus that God sent to be Savior. That's all you need to do. Stop running around and chasing me for miracles. This is what God says. Believe in the one that God sent, okay? And they answered, show us miracles, miraculous signs if you want us to believe. Okay, they didn't get it. And I'm sitting here thinking, I would have been going, are you kidding me, boys? Are you kidding me? We just took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and we fed everybody for free, all 20,000 of you. And I would be thinking, are you kidding me? They just didn't see it at that moment. They just didn't see that at the moment. And you know, sometimes we read our Bible and we read scriptures and we just don't see it. All right. Sometimes we read it because I've read it. I love little kids. Pastor D, I already read my Bible once. I used to love that. Cracking up. Girl, I've been doing it for 40 years. Okay. We can read it and it's just familiar and it's not speaking to us. So don't be so hard on them. They do get it. All right. Now, remember Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, something that's so insignificant, right? So, but when it grows, it becomes. When it grows, it becomes. When it grows, when it's planted, it takes time, it takes faithfulness, it grows and becomes, all right? So, they still didn't see it. They still didn't see it. And I'm sitting there going amazed. If you finish reading the chapter, it says many people still did not believe in Jesus. And you read it, and many people walked away. Right? I think it's verse 68. The people are walking away, and Jesus turns to his disciples, and he goes, well, what do you believe? And Peter, big mouth Peter. He gets it this time. And Jesus says, you know, are you going to go walk away too? And Peter says, where would we go? You only have the words of eternal life. I should read that. Peter said, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. You know, some days, do you ever want to quit? Just quit. Okay? And I have to go, are you kidding me? Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. You are my beginning, my end. You're my everything. I'm not quitting. All right? Praise God. Believe. Praise the Lord. All right. How do we wrap this up? Praise God. So Jesus said, believe in the one that sent me. And there's only one road Not all roads to heaven. There's only one road, and you have to believe in Jesus, right? He is the way. What is he? What else? Yeah, it's Jesus. Praise God. Let's pray. Close your eyes for a second here. Praise God. Father, I thank you. We just love you. We love you so much. We love you, and you do have the words of eternal life. Father, I thank you for these people. They are precious. Thank you. Father, some of us are going and having just tremendous things happening in our life, and others of us are just kind of going through some times that are just a little tough. And sometimes, Father, we think, just what about my life and the little that I do? I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just open eyes to see how significant we are. Little old me, yes, you are significant. And God has placed in you things to do, plans and purposes, so he can show himself big. So, Father, I pray that those that may feel discouraged on where they are in life, that's okay. We're not finished yet. And you are significant. And God will do significant things through your hands. And you have a part to play in the kingdom of God. You have a part to play in your family. You have a part that's so significant in the people that you meet, the people that you work with. And you are what reveals Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, 9 more days till Christmas. Next Sunday is the 22nd. Our kids are doing always hysterical. I don't care how serious you think it's going to be. It's always hysterical. You never know what's going to happen. I just cracked up. I was watching your little girls in the background. There's one little boy at this Christmas thing over there. And he's like... Next thing, he's laying down. We guarantee to entertain you with our kids. But I will tell you, it is a great opportunity to bring people who are like, I'm not stepping foot in no church. And you go, well, Grandpa, your kid's going to be up here, and they will come. Okay? And we will have a message, and it will tell them the significance of who Jesus is. So please bring people, and we'll always have sugar afterwards. Amen? Stand up. Father, I thank you that we are blessed coming in. We are blessed going out. I thank you, Father, everything we set our hand to, we prosper in. I thank you that we are lights of the kingdom to people you put in our path, and we are significant in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would like prayer, come on up front. I've got elders. I've got people that'll come and pray with you. If not, please say hi to somebody that you don't know. They promise.